Paul told us how to discern the body of Christ. He told us to discern the body of Christ. Here's a really, this will set somebody free, somebody that's watching, or maybe it might be you if you don't know. I know people have heard that if you take this unworthily, that you bring damnation to your soul. So people hit their knees and ask God to forgive them. I got good news for you. He already has forgiven you. You're free. He wants you to relax and discern the body of Christ, which is looking at this bread, seeing the types and shadows of Jesus in this bread, seeing his body in this bread. It's made without yeast. His body was without sin. Yeast is significant of sin. Also, this bread has been beaten flat. It's flat, been pounded flat. And there are stripes in this. And it's by his stripes we were healed. Also, this bread has been pierced. Everywhere Jesus' body was pierced and he shed blood, we got redemption for this in some area. Just as a homework assignment for y'all, go home and Google the Stations of the Cross. It's kind of fun. Don't pray to Mary, but look at the different places that he shed his blood and pray that prayer. There's two prayers there. There's a prayer right after that. You pray that. And then there's another prayer on the bottom where it's praying to Mary. Don't do that. Pray the other one. But look at the different places that he shed his blood and see the different places that he got redemption for you. Amen? Also, this bread is slightly burned. This is a big one. When Jesus was on the cross, he took the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the punishment for our sins. He took it. He took the punishment that we deserved so that we could have the life that he deserved. He didn't do anything wrong and we didn't do anything right. But he got what we had coming so that we could get what he had coming. Amen? I want you to know that with the same love that God loved Jesus with, that's the same love he loves you with. And his body was broken. We're taking this for our healing and we celebrate his life in us. We thank you for it. The blood of Jesus did something that nothing in history, nothing in any pharmacy, nothing in any college, nothing anywhere could do. The blood took your sins, washed them away, and made you perfect in the Father's eyes. You realize there's nothing we could do to accomplish that? Only the blood of Jesus could do that. And now you can stand in the Father's presence just as if you had never sinned. That's what justified is. Justified, never sinned. You are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. A full-blown son or daughter of God with the same standing that Jesus has. That's because of the blood of Jesus. All right. Well, happy Father's Day. You know, thinking about Father's Day, I remember when I was a kid, I had a couple friends, and some little thing would go wrong. Some little thing would go wrong, and we'd be walking along the road, and they wouldn't want to go home. And I'd say, why? They said, I'm in so much trouble. I said, what'd you do? I mean, it was just little things. They said, my dad's going to kill me. And these kids, seriously, they were going to get beat. And for just little things. And they had absolutely no confidence and no desire to go home. Because they knew it wasn't going to go well. You know, that sounds crazy for Christians to identify God that way too. But that's the way they do. When they don't understand the Bible through false doctrine or false teachings or traditions of men. There's a lot of Christians. And there's a lot of them in the Word of Faith circles. I think if they make a mistake, that somehow God is going to judge them and do something terrible to them. They think that if they make a mistake, that the devil is going to get them. But you understand something about the love of God. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that you could possibly do to get yourself into the love of God to begin with, other than call on the name of Jesus. And He loved you before you did that. But where you really got into the deal is when you got born again. And then the Bible tells us that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, not depth, height, width, nothing, peril, nothing can separate you from the love of God. And the Bible tells us He is our Father. Here's good news. I don't care, you know, there's some people that really did have a hard time when they were kids. Well, I don't care how bad your earthly dad was, your heavenly Father is much more. And you get a reset. See, the Bible tells us when you get born again, you get made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Because you got a new Father. You got an earthly dad, but you have a heavenly Father. Amen? And He outweighs anything your dad could ever do. You know, it's hard to understand sometimes how wonderful God is. I mean, it's really hard to understand how much He loves us. You know, we quote John 3:16. We say, for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son down here, that the world will not be condemned. He didn't want the world to be condemned. But just imagine this. He's going to take His own Son and make Him come down to this earth to pay a penalty that He didn't do any crime doing. That's really cool. You know, we read stories about Jesus in the Bible and the parables and all these things. You know, one of the things that comes out to me is this is God on earth in contact with His creation. And He's walking around with His disciples, and they point things out to Him. And we read, you know, it's, oh, this perverse generation said, you know, and all this stuff. You know, like when they ran into the fig tree, said, if you had faith, we focused on that. And you know what I really think? I think Jesus is walking around down here with his disciples, and they point out that fig tree. Said, you know, you can do that. You can do that. You can walk on water. You can cast out devils. You can lay hands on the sick. I think he was showing his kids what they could do. He'd been separated from them for so long. So I think he had great joy in being with his kids again. Walking around with them, showing them his creation, showing them how he wanted things done. You know, as parents, how many times did you tell your kids no? Can I jump out of the back of the pickup? No. Can I run over here? No. Can I do this? No. One time, a little kid was sitting there with me and said, can I do this? I said, yes. Little kid looked at me like I was crazy. I said, well, you can do that. Why? The kid can. So then she started reasoning it out. She started thinking about what it was that she wanted to do. Then she said, well, maybe I better not. I said, are you sure? Yeah, I don't need to do that. Okay, let's go somewhere else. But God says you can do all things through Christ. Sometimes we get so far from what God originally had designed, so we don't understand the way it should be. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1. See, this whole Father thing, this whole Father's Day thing didn't come about with us. It was God's idea. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. That's how God designed this thing. God spent considerable time getting everything lined out. You know, you realize he's seen the seas and he said, let there be dry land, and he got the moon and the stars and all this stuff going on. Then he got the plants and the birds and the fish and the animals and all this stuff. He had all this whole creation, and he created a garden. Right there. And then he created his son, Adam. You know, Adam, it's not just Adam, the word is Adam. Adam. The blood of God. His son, Adam. So they call Jesus the second Adam, the last Adam. But Adam, he created his son and put him right in the middle of this garden. The seed of God. And then he told him, take care of this thing, boy. This is all yours. The whole thing. Name the animals. He named the animals. You can't find anywhere in the Bible where God ever said, I don't think you should call this a giraffe. I don't think you should call this an elephant. Whatever Adam named them, that's what it stayed. Amen? He had great confidence in his son. Gave him dominion over this whole earth. And then Adam sinned, and he had to be removed from the garden. Now everybody looks at this as God just kicking him out of the garden as punishment, but God had to remove him out of that garden for his own safety, because there was a tree of life in there. And he could not let Adam eat of that tree of life and live forever in that sin state. So they had to remove him from the garden and keep him from ever going back in there again. He was separated from what he created. He couldn't be with Adam anymore. Can you imagine being separated from your kid? See them out there running around being an idiot, but you can't go help them, you can't go show them, you can't go do anything with them. But they're out there running around. And it stayed that way for thousands of years. And then you got Jesus down here. But before he got Jesus down here, he had to make a covenant with Abraham. Abraham believed for a long time. He believed for a long time waiting for Isaac to get here. And he tried to make an Isaac on his own, and he made an Ishmael. Finally, he got Isaac. And he got Isaac grown up, and he said, man, I got my boy, I got my son, I got my promised child, hallelujah. And God said, get that boy up on the mountain, sacrifice him. Well, you know, I don't believe Abraham went up that mountain in the bully grove. I don't think he went up there sad and crying. I think he went up that mountain believing that he was going to see God raise that boy up from the ashes, because he had already promised him that his seed was going to be as plentiful as the earth, as many as the stars in the sky. I think he was just going to go up there and see God do a miracle. But because he was obedient to do that, put his own son on that altar, and the son was obedient to let him do that. Now, this wasn't a baby. This was a full-grown man. And he just let his dad tie him up, put him on that altar. He knew what was going on. But because they were both willing and obedient to do that, God could get Jesus down here so that he could fix what Adam broke and then put us back into this family relationship. Now, there's a lot of people studying the Bible, trying to figure out how to be a good child of God. And if they'd read the first page, they'd see how to be a good child of God. Do the first thing he said to do. Subdue the earth, be fruitful, multiply, take care of this thing. That's what he said to do. Or Adam was. Because Jesus fixed it. Gave it back to us. Now there's a problem that we run into. Here, look, turn over to Matthew chapter 22. And this is a huge hurdle for a lot of people. Number one, because Jesus said it. Number two, because it's in the pages of what they call the New Testament. I want you to know that the New Testament didn't happen till after the cross. Yeah. The cross made all the difference in the world. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Actually, verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Okay, so people would take two verses out of that and make a whole doctrine out of it. Seriously. They'll take two verses out of there and lead people into utter failure. How do they do that? They take this part, they say, you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then they'll say, you shall also love your neighbor as yourself. Well, those are good things. But did you know you'll fail utterly? 100%. You can sit there and you can focus on loving God with everything you got. And I promise you, the devil will say, you know what? If you loved God, you would have took food down to the homeless shelter yesterday. If you loved God, you would have drove to El Paso and gave out blankets to the homeless. If you loved God, I promise you there's always going to be something where you didn't fulfill this. Here's why. It's the law. But it's Jesus speaking. I know that. He had to fulfill all righteousness. This guy came up to him and tempted him with the law. And he had to remind him of the law. And then he went on to say, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You know one thing about God is He always makes it where we can do what He wants us to do. You know, the Bible tells us that the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That's good news. Now, because He loved us, we can love Him. And because He loves us, we can love other people. I want you to see God in a light of love. Let's turn over to 1 John chapter 4. And you're going to have to say something. You have to do a confession. I want you to listen to this. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now back to when I was a little kid, these friends of mine had absolutely no confidence in their father. They knew judgment was coming and it was going to be hell to pay. I also seen kids that made mistakes. And the first thing they wanted to do is go home to their dad and show them what happened, and their dad would help them fix it. They had confidence in a loving dad. That's the way we're supposed to be with God, our Father. When we make a mistake, we're supposed to run to him in full confidence and assurance that he's the only one that can fix it. We should be happy to run to him, because he can clean us up from the mistakes we've made. Yeah? Okay, now you're going to have to say something now. You're going to say this confession out of your mouth so your ears can hear it. Jesus loves me. My Father loves me as much as he loves his own Son. Because I am his own Son. Let that soak in. As he is, so are we now in this world. The Bible tells us that you've been made joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Joint heirs. That means equal. That means exactly the same. There's nothing that Jesus qualifies for that we don't qualify for. With the same love that he loves Jesus with, that's the same love he loves you with. He's a good father. But what about the mistakes I've made? I don't care. That's what he tells you. He says, you've been washed by the blood of my Son Jesus. Now come on. I'm your Abba Father. That literally means daddy. Amen? See, it's really cool when you see these good dads. And they'll turn their kid loose. And they know that he's going to make mistakes. They know that he's going to do this wrong and this isn't going to be right, but that's the only way they're going to grow. You know, God does the same thing to you. He turns you loose. He gives you the keys. And he knows you're going to make mistakes. And he's still not going to be mad at you. He's going to show you how to fix it and go on with it. Amen? That's a good thing about a loving father. Amen? No matter what happens, he's always going to love us. And here's the thing about dads. Maybe you made some mistakes with your kid and you don't know what to do. You think it's all over. You think maybe you had such a horrible relationship with your kid before. There's a reset button. You know, God has a way of fixing stuff we can't fix. He can fix it. So we just let him fix it. And it's one thing is, God changes us. But it's not enough for us to just go say, hey, I'm a different person than what I was when you was a kid. Give me a chance. What's going through their minds is say, don't tell me how you've changed. Show me how you've changed. It may take several years. But when we continually show them the change instead of telling them the change, they'll believe the change because it'll be God ordained. Amen. Well, thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that you do for us on a continual basis. As your children, you continually take care of us. We thank you for that. We praise you, and Father, we bless the fathers in this country. They have a hard job, but if they follow you, they'll do a good job. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have steaks cooking and all kinds of food, and we'll eat here in just a minute. And everybody's welcome to come back and have some food. Celebrate Father's Day.